We're going to visit the Lakewood Yeshiva now. The Sefer Yareach LaMo'adim was by Rav Yerucham Olshin, Shlita. He's one of the great Torah personalities in Lakewood, from the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. So he put out a Sefer on Chanukah a couple years ago, and let's try this piece together. Hisnagdus hazeidim lechukei ritzonecha. Okay, you'll recognize the words from the tefillah in a moment, but let's jump right in. B'tfilas al anisim omrim, when we say al anisim, we talk about specific types of enemies, and we describe Yavan in a very specific way. We describe our enemy of Chanukah in a specific way. K'sha'amda aleya malchus Yavan ha'rasha al amcha Yisrael, la'ashkicham Torah secha. Okay, we know the Yavanim wanted us to forget the Torah. U'la'aviram mechukei ritzonecha. And to detach us and to remove us from the chukei ritzonecha. A chok is what? A chok is a law. Chukim and mishpatim, we usually think of the chukim as those mitzvos that we don't fully understand. Mishpatim are those that are more logical, that make a little more sense to us. But what is this emphasis? He wants to understand. Yesh ledaktik. We need to think about this for a second. What does it mean that Yavan specifically targeted chukei ritzonecha? The laws of your ratzon? What is a ratzon? What is ratzon? Ratzon means a desire. So desire is a very hard thing to explain. Why do I desire something? Right? I always give the same example. Vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Why do some people desire vanilla? Some people desire chocolate. It's hard to explain why I desire this or I desire that. Why am I attracted to this or attracted to that? Right? It's a desire. It's my ratzon. It's the way that I feel. It's my desire. It's hard to put it into words. So Hashem also has a ratzon. And Hashem gives us certain mitzvos that are hard for us to understand, what we call chukim, a chok. So what does it mean the Yavanim specifically targeted chukei ritzonecha? The Yavanim made gezeros against all sorts of mitzvos, and they weren't all chukim. So what exactly is this lashon in the tefillah of chukei ritzonecha? That's our opening question. Perhaps we can gain some further insight by delving more deeply into the text of Al Anisim, where we say in the Al Anisim, "Va'ata berachamecha harabim, Hashem, you in your great mercy, amadata lahem be'es sarasam, Hashem, you came to us at a time of great difficulty, ravta es rivam, danta es dinam, you took up our grievances, right? You fought for what was right for us, nakamta es nikmasam, you took vengeance against those who were our enemies, masarta giburim biad chalashim, you delivered the strong ones, the Yavani soldiers, into the hands of a handful of weak, you know, Torah Jews. Rabim biad ma'atim, they were the many and we were the few. Tameim biad tahorim, they were the impure and we were the pure. Risham biad tzadikim. And then we end off, v'zeidim biad oske sarasecha. Chaver, what are zeidim? Hashem, you delivered the strong into the hands of the weak, I got it. The many in the hands of the few. The impure into the hands of the pure. The wicked into the hands of the righteous. What are Hashem, you handed over the Zaydim to those who study Torah. What does that mean, Zaydim? How are those opposites? What are Zaydim, and how is that the opposite of Oske Torah Secha? Anyone have a sense of how to translate that word, Zayd? Zaydim? What are Zaydim? All right, I guess we'll have to keep going to find out. Let's find out. Ubipshuto nira, it seems at the first glance that all of the expressions that are used here are opposites, right? Many and few. Impure and pure. Wicked and righteous. So apparently Zaydim and Oske Torasecha must also be opposites. Well, Oske Torasecha, we know what that means, those who study Torah diligently. What are Zaydim? He writes, Rav Yerucham Olshin writes, Delechora inyan Zayd lachud. V'inyan oske sarasecha l'chud. These seem to be two different things. Well, again, we still haven't really translated what a zayd is. And we're trying to figure out why zayd is the opposite of oske sarasecha. We'll see. He's going to quote a pasuk in a moment. V'kfar amad al zeha beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, in his commentary, in his beis Yosef commentary on the tour, already raised this question in the name of the Orchos Chaim, which was a Rishon, an early Torah commentary. Posek, Psak Halacha, one of the Rishonim. He says, Ve'im toma lamar amar zeidim biyad oske sarasecha. Why do you refer to zeidim into the hands of those who study Torah? How are those opposites V'lo amar davar v'hifucho, k'mo she'amar b'chol ha'achirim. Why are we not listing opposites like we did by all the other examples? V'yesh lomar, so he answers, well, maybe they are opposites. How are they opposites? Again, we still don't know what the word zayda means, but we're about to find out. V'yesh lomar, says the Beis Yosef, ki derech ha'pasuk lachach, the Torah, the text of the Alanisim took the language of the pasuk. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Yotes, zeidim helitzuni ad ma'od, mitorascha lo natisi. Zeidim helitzuni ad ma'od, mitorascha lo natisi. What does that mean? Zeidim. Now, think about mezid. We think, right? What is mezid? A person who sins intentionally. So art scroll, I have an art scroll Tanakh open here. It says, zeidim helitzuni ad ma'od. Willful sinners, helitzuni. What's helitzuni? Laitz. What's laitzanis?
Laziness.
Laitzanis, not laziness. What's a laitz? Laitz is like a scoffer, right? Zeidim helitzuni ad ma'od. The willful sinners, they taunted me, they mocked me, right? Leitzanis. Leitzanis is the midah of belittling things, of making fun of things, right? A leitz is a person who doesn't take things seriously. Aha, so now we're starting to get somewhere. Zeidim helitzuni ad ma'od. It's a certain type of rasha that makes fun of things. So says David HaMelech, zeidim, willful sinners, helitzuni ad ma'od. They taunted me a lot. They made fun of me. And yet, says David HaMelech, mitorascha lo natisi. And yet I didn't abandon your Torah. I clung to the Torah when it wasn't popular. When people made fun of Torah. When people said, ah, Torah, you still believe in that stuff? David HaMelech said, yes, I do. U'lechora kavanasu lefare, shu be'emes davar v'hifucho. In other words, the Beis Yosef is telling us that what? That the opposite of a person who clings to Torah is a person who's a zeid, or a person who's a leitz, and we're going to develop that idea, k'moshe matzino b'pasuk, as we find in this pasuk, that opposite the zeidim, David HaMelech said, mitorascha lo natisi, I stuck with your Torah. D'mevuar sha zeidim omdim k'neged ha'oskim b'torah. Apparently zeidim is a term that expresses a certain type of hatred or animosity or negativity to one who studies Torah. We need to understand what is this midah of zeidim. Again, now we at least recognize the word mezid. Mezid is a person who does something intentionally. But the connection between zeidim helitzuni sounds like a person who attacks Torah in a very coarse and very harsh way and belittles Torah, makes fun of Torah, mocks Torah. Okay, do we have anyone recently who we encountered who acts that way? How about Esav HaRasha? How about the way that it describes Esav mocking the Bechora, trading away his firstborn rights in the Parsha for a bowl of soup? Right? Vayivaz Esav as a Bechora. Esav scorned, he mocked, he belittled the Bechora. So the idea of Zeidim or Leitzim is this mita of belittling things, of mocking things. Continues Rav Yerucham in paragraph Gimel. B'nira levar, dihine milashon ha-pasuk mavuar, sha-zeidim eim leitzanim ha-misloitzitzim. Zeidim are leitzanim. Zeidim are people who belittle, who mock, who make fun of things. As the pasuk said, zeidim leitzuni. Or how about the pasuk in Mishlei Chaf Aleph? Zeid yahir association, that the name of a zeid is leitz. That leitz and zeid go together. Apparently, it's the same midah. V'zeu kavanaso shel David HaMelech olav shalom. And this again is what David HaMelech says when he says, Zeidim, sheheim haleitzanim, helitzuni ad ma'od. These Zeidim, these mockers, these scoffers, these people who try to ridicule, right? They tried to helitzuni ad ma'od. They taunted me terribly. They always made fun of me. So now, chaver, let's try to understand. What are we fighting for in Hanukkah? It's much deeper than just, you know, we represent Torah and the Syrian Greeks represent the world of Greek wisdom. It's deeper than that. And it's more in your face than that. And that's why in Hanukkah there's a certain confidence a Jew has to express. Part of the reason that we take our menorah chutz, right? We bring it outward. We place it in our window. We put it by our doorway. We're trying to light up the street. We're not just hiding in our homes, lighting our menorah. We're not just trying to be mechazik ourselves internally. We're trying to have the confidence to go out to the world, a world that mocks Torah, and to stand up tall, and to be able to confront the scoffers, to confront those people who ridicule Torah. V'chein matzinu b'lashon haRambam. The Rambam, of course, in all places, in Hilchos Parah Aduma, because what is the paradigmatic chok of the Torah? V'zos chukas haTorah. What is the mitzvah that we really don't understand at all? It's the Parah Aduma. Shazeidim, the Rambam writes there, Shazeidim heim hamisloititzim al mitzvah haTorah. The Rambam there describes how Zeidim are those people who mock Torah, especially Torah that you can't really understand. Irrational Torah. You want to tell me the Torah has advice on how to set up a society? Don't murder, don't commit acts of adultery, don't steal, don't kidnap. You know, I got it. Hopefully there could be a world that people could buy into those ideas. But what about all the wacky ideas of Torah? What about the Parah Aduma of Torah? What about the shatness? What about the milk and meat? What's the logic behind any of those things? HaTzedukin writes the Rambam. The Tzedukin hayu omim she'ein maisa ha'parah kasher ela b'marove shemesh. Lefichach hayu based in Babai Yesheni, Mitam and Asakoin, Asorif as Apara Besheretz, Vikiotsebo, Vitovel, Vaachar Kach Osegba. There was a famous machlokus between the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, and the firm Jews. The Tzedukim said that a person, the Kohen, who has to be pure to prepare the Parah Aduma, only becomes pure after sunset. And we disagreed. We held that no, as soon as he goes to the mikvah, he's eligible to prepare the Parah Aduma. So you know what they used to do? In Bayis Sheni, they would intentionally be metame the Kohen. They would have him come into contact with a sheretz, with one of the eight creatures described in Parsha Shmini that make a person tame. And then he would go to the mikvah, and immediately afterwards he would be involved with Parah Aduma. As a way of saying what? As a way of saying, no, you're wrong. Your approach, your understanding of the halacha is not correct. That's not how we do things. And they did this in a way that was, you know, almost, why couldn't they just wait till nightfall? Why couldn't they be a little more machmir like the Tzedukim? The answer is because that's not Torah. And we're going to do what the Torah says. And it doesn't matter if people get it or don't get it. We're going to stick to the truth of the Torah. Kidei levatel divrei elu hazeidim, shemoyrim meha'ola al rucham, lo min ha'kabbalah. This was our way of responding to the Zeidim, who ruled Shemorim, that they paskin their halachas based on whatever felt right to them, whatever they understood, lo min ha-kabbalah, not based on the Jewish tradition. So the Rambam, in referring to the Tzedukim, who followed Torah sometimes in a very literal way, or had all sorts of unusual ways of interpreting the Torah, which were not in accordance with the traditional Torah Sheba'al Peh, as a way of confronting these Tzedukim, we did it dafka in a way that was an affront to them. But the Rambam calls these individuals who did things in their own way, with their own way of thinking, the Rambam calls them Zeidim. Shatzadukim hamorim betorah me'a'ola al rucham nikru Zeidim. Tzadukim who rule in matters of Torah based on their own understanding, based on their own intellect. Those are called Zeidim. They mock the tradition. Upeirusho kaniz kalel. The explanation is like we explained above. That by trying to recreate their own understanding of Torah, they were mocking our long legacy, our tradition of Torah. They were ridiculing the rabbis who had a long-standing Torah Sheba Al Peh tradition. And because of that, they weren't prepared. Because of this false confidence that the Tzedukim, that they thought that they, you know, that they were the true holders of the Torah tradition, so they created their own way of thinking, and they ridiculed the true holy Torah tradition, and they didn't submit themselves humbly before the true teachers of Torah. V'zeu masha omrim ba'al anisim. So now, friends, now we're starting to understand ba'al anisim. Zeidim bi'ad oske Torah secha. The fight of Hanukkah is not just Torah versus secular wisdom. That's an oversimplification of what we're fighting for. The Hayavanim Nikru Zeidim Veleitzanim. It's being able to stand up to Torah. It's not about, you know, it's not just about, you know, yeshiva versus college. It's much more insidious than that. It's much deeper than that. The Yavanim are called Zeidim and Leitzanim because they wanted to ridicule Torah, to mevatel the Torah, in a way of what? La'ashkicham Torah Secha u'la'avira mechukei Ritzonecha. They targeted the chok of the Torah. In other words, if you couldn't explain it logically, they weren't interested in it. If it didn't fit their own understanding, their own philosophy, they weren't interested in it. If you claim that this is a Kabbalah that I have that goes back to Har Sinai, they weren't interested in it. Oskei Torah Secha is like David HaMelech said, Mitorascha lo natisi. I clung to your Torah. I didn't listen to that voice of ridicule that was mocking the Torah. So says Rav Yerucham Olshin, what we're learning today is that again, that Yevanim are the embodiment of a leitzanis, of a ridicule, zilzul, mocking Torah. And again, the way to come to an appreciation, it's so simple by the way, Chevra, the way to come to an appreciation of Torah is by being osik b'Torah. If you start off, if your attitude towards Torah is, I'm going to study Torah only if it makes sense to me. How many times have you met someone who doesn't really know anything about Torah, and yet they think that they know everything about Torah? I was talking to someone at a wedding the other week. He told me he's involved in a certain chapter of NCSY, working with high school kids who are in public school. And these like 15-year-old kids, they all think they have it all figured out. And he tries to teach them Torah, and they're the late sonis and the zilzel. Oh, you really believe that stuff? Study it. Find out what it is. You don't know anything about it. How have you formulated an opinion? Immerse yourself in it. Try it with an open mind and then decide. How many people have made up their mind about Torah before they even tasted it, before they even try it? So the Zeidim, the ridicule of Torah, is the opposite of Osek B'Torah. The more you study Torah, the more you immerse yourself in it, the more it starts to open up, the more it starts to make sense, the more a person feels connected to it. Right? And that's again, that's what we're fighting for on Hanukkah. We're fighting for an openness to study Torah deeply and to appreciate it and to know that it will make sense, even if at first it's hard to understand. My puny human mind can't grasp the depths of Torah. But the more I study it with humility, the more I humble myself. Again, Chavar, I mentioned to you in the past, look at the letters of Yavan, Yud, Vav, Nun. What do you notice about those letters? They stand up very tall. They stand very straight. They don't bow themselves. They don't humble themselves. In Chanukah, we insert the Chanukah tefillos into our davening, where in benching, in no delicha, and in Shmona Esrei, in modim, right? The ability to bow, to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves before Hashem. If you're going to walk around, you know, standing up tall with an outstretched neck in a haughtiness, so you're going to come to think Torah is stupid, Torah is old-fashioned, Torah doesn't make sense. David HaMelech. David HaMelech is one of our greatest teachers of humility. David HaMelech says, you can mock me, you can make fun of me, I'm clinging to Torah. David had the humility to cling to Torah, whether it made sense to him or not in a particular moment. He said, if Hashem says this is Torah, if this is a chok, if this is God's ratzon, if this is God's desire or decree, I'm sticking with it. V'nira de'inya zem afurish v'pasik b'tilim. Let's learn another couple of psukim b'tilim. In Perek Pei, a parak shehizkir David HaMelech olav ha-shalom es ha-golios sheyavru behem klal yisrael, where David HaMelech is describing the various golios, the various exiles that the Jewish people went through, and he's davening over klal yisrael. Va'al malchus yavan, when David HaMelech has his psukim that are a reference to our fight against Yavan, David HaMelech davens in the following way. Hashem Elokim Tzavakos ad masai ashanta b'tfilas amecha. Hashem, how long will you ashanta b'tfilas amecha? How long will you reject, not be open to the tfilos? How long are you going? Ashanta is really a lashon of like wrath. Arch will here translates as fume. How long will you fume at the prayers of your people? Hashem, why are you so angry at us that you won't listen to our tfilos? When was that? Perish Rashi, Malche Yavan, Sheheru Ma'od Li Yisrael. This was during the Greek exile, the third of our four exiles in history, that David HaMelech is referencing. And then David HaMelech says, Hashiveinu v'nivashaya. Rashi says, Mibnei Yavan. Va'aleim k'siv. And about this whole period it says, Tisimenu madon l'shechneinu. Tisimenu, you've placed us as madon. He translates here, Lashon Meriva. which in Meriva means that you made us the enemies, right? We were constantly in a state of strife, lishichneinu, with our neighbors, right? Ashachin, lishcheinenu, with our neighbors. Uperish Rashi, sinizgaru banu Yavan, that Yavan started up with us. Va'oyvenu, and how does David HaMelech end? Va'oyvenu yilagu lamo. And our enemies, what? Lag. What does lag mean? Again, mocking. And our enemies mocked me. Our tefillos weren't answered. Our enemies were constantly in a state of strife with us. Our neighbors, right, became our greatest enemies. And all of this culminates in what? Oyvenu yilagu lamo. That our neighbors were, that our enemies were lag, were in a state of laag. Lag means ridicule. The way that our neighbors targeted us, the way that our neighbors antagonized us, it was all what? La'ag. It was all mockery. Milashon leitzanas. Our enemies were always mocking us. And again, Chavad, that's what we're fighting for in Hanukkah. So now at least we understand. Again, we have a clear understanding now of what we're saying in Al HaNisim. We understand the opposites. We understand the strong versus the weak, the pure versus the impure, the righteous versus the wicked, and now we understand the mockers versus those who study Torah seriously, those who are open to Torah. However, there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Sukkah that's very, very sad, a very tragic Gemara. The Gemara tells the story, and he writes it here in paragraph Hey. V'chein matzinu b'gemara Sukkah. Anyone ever here learn the fifth parak of Sukkah? Anyone know the story of Miriam Bas Bilga? It's a very sad story. A story of a Jewish girl who went off the derech. The story goes that this woman, Miriam Bas Bilga, she was one of the Miss Yavanos. She was a Miss Yavain. She was a Yavani supporter. And the Gemara tells us that she was Hemira Daita. She abandoned her faith. And she went and she married one of the Greek generals, one of the Greek high-ranking officers. And Kishenichlesu Yavanim Lahecha, when the Yavanim entered into the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Chanukah, she went over to the Mizbeach, Haisa Mivatas Bisandala Al Gabe HaMizbeach. She climbed up to the top of the Mizbeach, and she was kicking the Mizbeach. She was kicking the Mizbeach with her sandal, with her sandals, with her shoes. Va'amran, she said, Lucas, Lucas. She kicked the Mizbeach and said, Lucas, Lucas. What is Lucas? Lucas means wolf. Wolf, wolf. Ad Masai ata mechal mamonon shel Yisrael, v'i ata omir aleim b'shasad chak. She said, "Wolf, wolf." Why she called the Hashem a wolf is a good question. But she kicked the mizbeach, and she said, "How long are you going to continue to what to consume the money of the Jewish people, and you don't stand by their side in a period of difficulty?" In other words, Hashem, you take all of our karbanos, and yet you don't offer support. You don't protect Klal Yisrael. So she was a rebellious woman. Again, she had left the faith, she intermarried, and here she was, right, trampling the Mizbeach, kicking the Mizbeach, saying, look how God takes away our possessions, takes our money, takes our resources, and doesn't do anything for us. He leaves us hanging b'shasad chak. So the Gemara says, what a chutzpah to mock the Beis HaMikdash in such a way, to call out God in such a direct way. How does a person come to such a thing? The Gemara explains, v'hemshech ha-gemara Isa, Shadavar Shagaram La Lizdardar Kol Kach Min Adas. What caused her to have this falling out, this religious falling out, you know? You meet someone later in life and they're not religious, and you ask, like, where did it start for you? You know, where did you start to question God? Is it that you had a teacher in elementary school, you know, who embarrassed you once in front of the class, and that's when you started to hate from Jews? Is it that you read some philosophical book and that you started questioning, right? Well, what was it? What was it? Where was your falling out? Is it that your parents were very religious and you hated your parents, so this was your rebellion against God by rebelling against your parents, by abandoning your religion? People have all sorts of interesting reasons why they sometimes, you know, stray from a path of Torah and mitzvahs. So what was it for this girl? How did Miriam Bas Bilga go off the derech? So the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says that what? Hayakoa chalitzanis. The Maksha Gemara El Laman de Amar Miriam Bas Bilga, Shemira Daitam Yishum, Barte, Sinan Le Lididei, Amar Abaye in, Kidamri inshi shusa dianuka beshuka o da avua o da ime. The Gemara says that the whole family, the extended family of Miriam Bas Bilga, was penalized in terms of their relationship with the Beis Hamikdash. There was a knas that was placed on her whole family who got into trouble. Why? So Abaye says, Shusa Dianuka, the language of or the influence of a child, Beshuka O Da Avua O Da Ime, the language that a child speaks in the marketplace was picked up from the mother or from the father. Again, well, what's the Gemara saying here? Rashi explains. Mashal Hedyotu. Abaye is giving us a mashal to understand what happened. How does she say such a thing? She's trampling the Beis Hamikdash and calling out God and saying, God, you just take money of the Jews and you don't support them at all. So Abaye said, yes, what a child says in the marketplace are things that they overheard at home. Sometimes, you know, a kid says something and like they reveal like a secret of how their parents speak at home. Masha tinok medaber b'shuk, me aviv o me imo shama. Avzu, im lo shama me avia, shahayim avaza es havoda lo amra kain. Wow. Says Rashi explaining the Gemara, right? Why was the whole extended family of Miriam Bas Bilga punished? Because one girl went off the derech. Why should everyone be punished? So Abaye says, yes, they deserve to be punished. Because what a girl says, she picked up from her family. And therefore, yes, it is her family's fault. Rashi explains, what a child says in the marketplace, where did they first hear it? Where did you learn to talk that way? They got it from their mother or father. So if this girl displayed her disgrace for the Beis HaMikdash, if she spoke so scornfully about God and about the Beis HaMikdash, it must be that she overheard her father was being Mavaza the Avoda. It must be her own dad said, you know, I bring karbanos and what does it do for me? So when you talk like that, it rubs off on your children. And eventually she said, well, if that's the attitude of my parents, so why do I even bother to be a Jewish person? And she went and she married a Greek general, a Greek officer, and she came back to the Beis HaMikdash to trample it at the time that the Avanim were defiling the Beis HaMikdash. Right? But bizoy is the magic word here. She was Mavaza. Again, like I told you, what does it say about Esav? When Esav ridiculed the firstborn right, which he's trading away, the privilege of being a firstborn, he's selling it for a bowl of soup. What does it say? Vayivez Esav es ha-bechorah. He made a bizayon. He made a bizayon out of the bechorah. He ridiculed the bechorah. Vayivez Esav es ha-bechorah. He mocked the bechorah. Nu, chaver, what's the gematria of Vayivez? Vav yud bey zayin. And what type of food, by the way, was he buying? What was he buying from him? It's a bowl of lentil soup, right? Vayozed Yaakov Nazid. Isn't that an interesting word? We're learning about Zaydim. What was the food called? The food that he gave him was Nazid. Nazid means some type of lentil soup, right? Some type of Vayozed Yaakov Nazid. Our article here translates that Jacob simmered a stew. Yeah, but it's very similar to the word Zaydim. You see this midah of Zaydim. Yeah, Vayivez Esav es ha-bechorah. Vayivez. What's the gematria of Vayivez? Vayivez is 25. What? 25. So 25 is a good Chanukah number, right? Chanu Chafei, 25th of Kislev. The antidote of Vayivez, of mocking, of ridiculing, of Esav who says what? Who says, give me some of that Nazid. I want to be a Zayd. I want to be Zayd. And Yaakov, of course, is the ultimate example of a Torah scholar. So Zaydim bi'ad oske sorasecha has a lot to do with the ridiculing of the firstborn right, as Esav buys it from his brother. But my friends, it's all one theme, whether you call it Leitzanis, whether you call it being Mavaza, Bizayon, whether you call it Zaydim, it's all the same thing. It's an attitude, a scornful attitude, a disregard or a disrespect for the holiness of Torah, thinking you know better than the Torah. Harei Shemida Zu Shemiriam Bas Bilga, Bizza Esav Mizbeach. This Mida, that Miriam Bas Bilga, this rebellious woman, that she disgraced the Mizbeach, she kicked the Mizbeach, and called out God in a public display in the Beis HaMikdash. What an unbelievable thing. She learned it from the fact that her father was Mevaza Es HaAvoda, that her own father must have said, her own father must have spoke negatively, you know? Sitting at their Shabbos table, her father must have said, oh, the rabbi's drasha was terrible today. So when you talk like that, it rubs off on your children. When a person speaks negatively about frumkeit, so the next generation says, I don't want to be frum anymore. Umavur shaharishus vashpas hayavanam alamisyavdim hayahabizayon valitzanus. And again, that was the hashpa of Yavan. Not just to what? Not just to say we have a different philosophy, but they did it in a way of scorning Torah, of mocking Torah, ridiculing Torah. Keneged haTorah v'avod. V'chein masinu b'Sanhedrin. Ma'isa be'echad sherochav al sus b'Shabbos b'yamei hayavanim. There was a story of a fellow who was riding a horse on Shabbos. You know, driving his car in the Jewish neighborhood on Shabbos. Right? Ve'eviu le'beistin. They brought him to Beistin. V'sakluhu. And they stoned him. They stoned him to death. They punished him. Chil Shabbos, right? Lo mipnei sheroi lakach, ela shasha tzrich lakach. In fact, riding a horse may not be enough of a violation of Shabbos to be chayev skila. So why did they do it? Not because he deserved it, but they did it. It was a moment where nehayim. And the rabbis understood that again, where does he have the audacity to ride his horse around town on Shabbos? Perish Rashi, hatam shahaya hasha tzrich lakach. What does it mean that the time demanded of it? That this incident was too egregious to let it slide. Why? What was he doing that was so terrible? That they stoned him for an Isser Derabanan. Bipnei shayu prutzim ba'averos. The rabbis were trying to stop this great descent. Shayu roin loichasin shal Yisrael. Shayu vanim him gozrim aleim gzeros. Vayu mitzvos bezuyos be'enehem. Rashi says, you know why the rabbis took action? Because they saw a trend. It wasn't just people abandoning mitzvos. It was people ridiculing mitzvos. Right? And that's so corrosive. That destroys the whole atmosphere. For those people who want to cling to mitzvos, you want to go off the derech, so go off the derech quietly. But you have to explain to, you have to mock from people. You have to ridicule, you have to come to Beis HaMikdash and kick them as mizbeach. That's something we can't tolerate. You want to ride your horse around town on Shabbos without any regard for those from Jews who are keeping Shabbos. Hare mefura sha'kolach shal yado hitzlachto hayavanim, az hitzlichu hayavanim, lamir daitam shal Yisrael. The reason that the Yavanim were successful in drawing Jews away from Torah and mitzvos was, again, this koach of bizoy mitzvah, of mocking mitzvos. V'asum shayu bezuyos be'eneyam. And they made the mitzvos, not worthy in the eyes of the Jews. They made a ridicule. They ridiculed the mitzvos, and they made the mitzvos look like something foolish and silly and childish. And that's very dangerous. So now, friends, you're going to say Ala Nisim Yirtz Hashem this Chanukah in a different way. Because you're going to pause for a second. When you say Zaydim Biad Oske Sarasecha, you're going to think about, right, do I have a respect for Torah? Not only do I learn Torah, but do I have respect for Torah? Do I ridicule Torah sometimes? Do I look at a person who's, you know, in my eyes too from and I look down on them? Right? That's Zaydim Biad Oske Sarasecha. The more you study Torah, the more you don't make fun of Torah, but you respect Torah. You lift up the honor of Torah. That's why on Chanukah, of course, what do? We do Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Right? Why are we so from on Chanukah? There's three different ways to light the menorah. You could just do Ner Ishu Beso. There's something called Mahadrin. And then there's something called Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. I would guess that every single person here does Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. In fact, I've never met a Jew who doesn't do Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Right? One night, the first night, two the second, three, four. That's called Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Since when do I do everything Mahadrin and Mahadrin? Why am I so frum about mitzvahs on Chanukah? And the answer is, because that's part of our pushback. In a world that's mocking mitzvahs, you can't just take a passive approach, a middle-of-the-road approach to mitzvahs. You gotta be proud of your mitzvahs. You gotta go all in with mitzvahs. So Zeydin Biad Oske Sorasecha means that I turn back the late sonnus of Yavan by diligently studying and attaching myself to mitzvahs. And now we understand the next part of the tefillah. What do we say? We say the Avanim tried to what? Not just to forget the Torah, but lahavira mechuke ritzonecha. They dafka wanted to undermine which mitzvos? Chukim. What's a chok? A mitzvah that's illogical. A mitzvah that's just the ratzon Hashem. Shayivanim tafsu es Yisrael ala chukim. The prat. The Avanim targeted specifically the chukim. Kedimetzinu b'mashi sheishtadlu levatel as avodas hakarbanos v'mikdash. V'avodas karban tamid. As the Midrashim tell us, the Yavanim tried to stop the Karbanos. V'halo kosav ha-Rambam, and the Rambam writes, V'chol ha-Karbanos kulan miklal l'chukim. We don't understand Karbanos. What's a Karban? Does God eat the meat? God doesn't eat the meat. God enjoys the smell, the reach nichoch. Like, what's a karbon? What a funny thing. The Rambam says that all karbanos are what? Are chukim. So Miriam Bas Bilga, she comes to the Beis HaMikdash and she steps on them as Beach and she says, this is so stupid, this makes no sense. You keep burning offerings to God and what does it get you? She was ridiculing karbanos, which is the essence of a chok. Amru chachamim, shebishvil avodas karbanos ha'olam omed. What do you mean? The world stands on karbanos. It's one of the pillars of the world. Torah, avodah, and gemilas chasadim hold up the world. Avodah means karbanos. And yet, it's a chok. We don't really understand. Why does God need a karban? Why does Hashem need me to... Why does this poor animal need to die, you know? The animal rights activists are out there saying, what are you killing all these animals for? What are you doing? You know? It's bad enough to kill animals for your own enjoyment, to eat a steak. What are you burning an animal on an altar for? It goes up to God? You Jews, do you believe God eats? No. So what are you doing? I don't know. It's a chok. The Torah says so. It's very easy to ridicule such a thing. And that's what the Yevanim tried to do. La'avira mechuke ritzonecha. Move on Lefizah Ha'maisa Shel Miriam Bas Bilga. So now we really understand that much more. Miriam Bas Bilga. That why did she dafka? She didn't come into the Beis HaMikdash and kick the I don't know, the Shulchan with the Lechem upon him. She didn't kick the menorah. Right? She didn't go into the Kodesh Kadashim and kick the Aron. She kicked them as Beach. Why is she kicking them as Beach? Because she learned from her father to be Mavaza the Avoda. Why specifically this? Why specifically Chukim? Why are chukim the target of the Yavanim? So explains Rav Yerucham Olshin Shlita. Because again, to be a Jew who believes in a chok is a courageous thing. You want to tell me that, you know, Jewish values, or what the world likes to call Judeo-Christian values, have made the world a better place, a safer place? You want to talk about the barbaric world that preceded the Torah, and how Torah values, right, overturn some of the, again, barbaric practices of the ancient world? You want to talk about Torah values in that sense, the things that make sense, the logical rules of Torah. So again, people can buy into that. But chukim are very easily susceptible to being ridiculed. Ulefi dvareinu ha'inyan muvan b'pshitos. Explains Rav Yerucham Olshin as we wrap up the piece. The me'acher shabau yavanim hazeidim b'koach haleitzanos levazos es mitzvos ha'Torah. Since the Yavanim represent, again, this ridicule, this mocking of Torah. It's Esav, again, cheapening the firstborn rights, trading it away for a bowl of soup. Again, there's a lot of Chanukah in that scene. All these parshas that we start reading in the month of Kislev have a lot of Chanukah references. You got to keep your eyes open when you're reading the parsha. U'matzino sha'umos hayim mavazim es chukim shal Torah, she'in b'ham tam yadua. And again, this is the nature of chukim, to be ridiculed. As Rashi famously writes at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, when it talks about the Parah Aduma, which again is the ultimate chok, Zos Chukas HaTorah. What does Rashi say? Lefi Sha'asatan V'umos Ha'olim Monin Es Yisrael. Monin is also a lashon of ridicule. The nations of the world, and the Satan himself, the Sitra Achra, the Yetzirah laughs at you, or wants you to laugh at yourself. When you think about a Parah Aduma, Ma Mitzvah Zos, Umatam Yeshba. Paraduma doesn't make any sense. The person who's involved with the Paraduma becomes Tameh, and the person who gets sprinkled becomes Tahor. It's paradoxical, it doesn't make sense. A red cow, who cares? It's wacky stuff. Right? So the nations of the world, they make fun of it. And therefore the Torah says, Chuka, Zos Chuka Satorah. It's a chok. It's a gezeira himilafanai. Ve'ein lecha reshus lahar her acharel. Don't question it. Have a muna and continue to do it. But the nations are going to laugh. V'kach chasav ha-Rambam. And this is what the Rambam writes as well. V'achukim hein ha-mitzvos she'ein tamon yedua. What is a chok? A chok is a mitzvah that we don't fully understand. Amru chachamim. Chukim shechakakti lecha ve'ein lecha reshus laharer behem. The laws have been established for you and you shouldn't question them. V'yitzro shel adam nokfo behen. But you're a scientific person. You're a rational person. You're a logical person. There's a part of you that's going to be bothered by this. And the nations of the world are busy questioning it. They want to understand it. Could go an iser basar chazir. What's wrong with eating pig? You guys eat other types of meat. What's wrong with pig's flesh? Ubasar bachalov. Is meat kosher? Yeah, meat can be kosher. Is milk kosher? Milk can be kosher, but you can't eat them together. What kind of crazy rule is that? Egla Arufa, breaking the neck of an animal when you find the dead body in between two cities. Para Aduma, Sar Mishtaleach, throwing a goat off a cliff on Yom Kippur. What are these crazy practices the nations of the world want us to question? What are the mitzvot that the nations of the world target to try to tear us away from our Yiddishkeit? It's specifically those mitzvot that we can't explain. And they ridicule Klal Yisrael, and they say, Ma tam yeshba? What is the logic behind this? And we can't answer that question. So we either have to be ma'aminim, or God forbid we lose our faith. So now, Cheva, so let's listen. And you got to pause for a second when you daven this year on Chanukah. When you say Al Anisim, pause for a second. When the wicked Yavanim came against Klal Yisrael, what did they want to do? Lashkicham Torah Secha. It's true. They were generally trying to get us to forget Torah. But specifically, Lahavira Mechuke Ritzonecha. To undermine the Ratzon Hashem that we don't understand. The Chok. The laws of Torah that are illogical to us, that we can't explain, that transcend human understanding. Dehemshech Echad, who it's all one inyan. Sha'ofen Sherasta Malchus Yavan. These Zaydim, the way that they wanted us to forget Torah, through their late sonnas, through the ridicule. Hayal Yedei Shishtadu La'avira Mechuke Ritzonecha. They understood if they can get us to start questioning those mitzvot that we don't understand, to raise the question, Matam Yeshba. What benefit is there to this? How does it make any sense? Right? Then eventually our whole Yiddishkeit will fall apart. We mevaze the mitzvos. My friend's last pitch. Va'advar meduk'dakim ma'od concludes Rav Yerucham Olshan. And this fits again very beautifully with what we started. The Beis Yosef said, Zeidim and Oskei Sorasecha, are those opposites? And the Beis Yosef said, yes, they are. Because Zeidim helitzuni, the Zeidim, the willful sinners, who helitzuni, who ridicule me, who taunt me, ad ma'od. They don't just taunt me a little bit, they taunt me a lot. And David HaMelech says, but I cling to Torah. Mitoras chalo natisi, I haven't abandoned the Torah. V'halo mefurash barambam, shaleitzanim, shayom al igim al David HaMelech, hayom mislotzim al chukim shavatorah. And this is exactly, the Rambam ties it all together. V'kama haya David HaMelech mitztar min aminim v'hagoyim shayom mashivin al chukim. David HaMelech, you're such a smart guy, so why do you believe these crazy ideas? And David HaMelech, with his humility, he bowed himself before Hashem, just like we do. Chanukah, lahodos ulahalel, to submit ourselves before Hashem. V'chol zman chayu rotvino so b'tshuvos ha-sheker, sh'orchin lefi koitzer das ha-adam. When David HaMelech was being pursued by them with questions, and they ridiculed him, right? Because of the limitations of man's ability to understand, because we can't understand, we can't fully understand. Hayu mosif dveikus b'torah. David HaMelech says, Zeidim halitzuni ad ma'od. It was rough. They chased me and they pursued me and they tried to mock me and ridicule me, but I clung to the Torah. As David HaMelech says just a couple of psukim later, in Tehillim Pasuk Kuf Yotes Samach Tes, Toflu alai sheker Zeidim. The Zaydim were toflu a lie sheker. They piled, toflu means they piled upon me all sorts of lies. And yet David says, Ani b'chol lev etzor pekudecha. But with all my heart, with my organ that represents Amunah, the heart, I clung to the mitzvos. U'mavur b'dvarv shad Zaydim she'esloitzu al David HaMelech, hayim nisloitzim al chukim. So again, all the pieces tie together. It's dafka, the chukim, that they ridiculed. And that's the kavan of Al-Anisim. Zeidim biad oske sorasecha, la'avira mechuke ritzonecha. We have to be like David HaMelech, and we have to say, mitorascha lo natisi. No matter how much the world, and Chavra, I think this is such a relevant thing in the world today. Because as you get into, deeper and deeper into a world that loves to talk about logic and science and understanding of things, we believe in those things, right? We believe that Hashem gave us a brain. Jews are pretty smart. We saw that video last week with the South Korea guy saying, right, you Jews are you win all the Nobel Prizes. So we believe that we're pretty smart. And it's okay to be smart. And we should use our mind. And we're supposed to study. And the Rambam himself, the Rambam we quoted 10 times today, the Rambam writes that we're supposed, Hashem gave us a brain to try to understand every mitzvah. But at the end of the day, we have to remind ourselves that every mitzvah is Gezeras HaMelech, the king decreed. And there's going to be people who mock and who ridicule and who try to undermine Torah and mitzvahs. Those Zaydim, those Leitzim, Those people who are mavaza, those people who try to trample lo aleinu, and sometimes it's our own people, like we see with Miriam Bazbilga trampling the top of the Mishkan, of the Mizbeach, I'm sorry, in the Beis HaMikdash. But we have to be like David HaMelech and cling to Torah and Mitzvahs. All right, my friend, the new parish in Alanisim. I hope you understand it. I hope you'll daven over it on Hanukkah. Nu and Nani, what do you want to say? I feel like you got something for us.
Can we say Zaydin Ba'ados Geser Asecha without the Vav? Is that allowed?
Zaydin Ba'a... What?
Zaydin Ba'ad Oske Sarasecha, just without the Vav.
Which Vav? Which Vav are you taking out?
The Zaydin.
Oh, Zaydin. Yeah, you could say that.
So then it's V'adata Hayom Vashavotzeh L'Vavecha.
Oh, wow, very nice. So you want to say the Gematria of Zaydin Ba'ad Oske Sarasecha, what's the number?
1349.
Zaydin Ba'ad Oske Sarasecha. It's 1349, and it's the same gematria as what? V'yedata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha. Wow, amazing. Again, especially if you remember, like the Marsha says at the end of Makos, that the organ, that right, the different body parts correspond to different mitzvos. Which body, where does Amunah correspond to? Corresponds to the lev, the Marsha says. So v'yedata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha.
And it's also like v'yedata, like knowing it. Even right. Though we can't explain it, we know it.
Right. V'yadata yom. V'yadata also. I mean, the Rambam says the mitzvah of Amunah is getting to know Hashem. Trying to study it. V'yadata yom. Study as much as you can. But then hashivos elavecha. But then store it in your heart in the sense of there's going to be elements of Torah that you can't understand. And there will be people who try to undermine the entire system of Torah by targeting the parts that we don't understand. And by calling them silly or ancient or foolish or barbaric, or pagan, God forbid. You know, you could talk about all the strange things that we do and try to undermine Torah. But the more you're osek b'Torah, you start to realize that the system is flawless. Torah Hashem Tamima. It's a perfect system. And all the shortcomings are the kotzer yadeinu, right? Kotzer yad tzichleinu, the shortness of our own intellect. Very good. Anyone else want to add anything? Any other thoughts? Ha'aras? Yeah, Avi, let's hear.
Yeah, I just think it makes a lot of sense in terms of, I mean, I just think Chukim represent, like for me, a representative of experiential Judaism. Like when you throw away that piece, you can't, like that's why it makes so much sense to be Oskei B'Torah, to get away from the mocking.
Right.
Because when you really experience Torah on a deep level, whether it makes sense in your mind or not, you could feel it and you could feel right. The truth you were looking for.
That's very good. That's true. Right, the chukim represent, again, chuke ritzonecha, ratzon, right? The ratzon is the most intangible part. It's the hardest part to describe, and in many ways, it's the strongest part, you're saying. And that's really true. I mean, again, I always think to human relationships, right? If you were to ask me to define why I love my wife, why I love my children. So I can give you a lot of reasons, but there's an element, there's something that's deeper, there's a chok, right? There's a part that transcends words or transcends logic. That just can't be explained, and in a certain sense, that's the part that's unquestionable, right? So the Yavanim try to undermine the whole system by saying that's the easiest part to question. It doesn't make any sense. How can you believe that? And then you start to question, and the whole system falls apart. But when a person, experiences it, right? When a person's osek in it, when a person immerses himself in it, so then it becomes you feel it. You feel it to be true. You know it to be true. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big part of the fight today. There's a lot of mockers in the world today. There's a lot of people who try to ridicule, try to ridicule and undermine the values that we've held dear for thousands of years. So we have to be strong Jews, Yavan has a certain, again, the brazenness of Yavan, all the Svarim talk about using that brazenness in a way of holiness. We call Azus de Kedusha, right? Az means to be stern, to be firm, to be strong. So Yavan is haughty. Yavan stands up tall. Yod Vav Nun. They carry themselves, right? We submit ourselves before Hashem, but it's through that bittul and that humility that we come to true confidence.